Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What it's going to take for these guys to play better is just being out there and being physical and playing nasty. And the only way you can do that is just, you know, by working on your practice habits and doing the things with practice that you want to carry over into the game. And, you know, hitting and tackling. And just having that attitude where, you know, the offense is trying to come at you, they're trying to score points on you, and, you know, you're trying to stop them and get the ball back to your offense.
Former Chiefs linebacker Joe Mays joined us earlier in the show. He joins us 8 o'clock on Friday. He's also part of the Players Only show, 6 o'clock Thursday nights here on 610 Sports Radio. About the attitude of the Chiefs defense, you'd like to see him play a little bit more mad. It is our Chiefs roundtable. Show from Show and Vern is with us in studio today. Good morning, Show.
Oh, good.
You had a fantastic rip move on me. Yeah. We need to probably bring up in a moment. And Carrington Harrison from The Drive also with us for the roundtable. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
We appreciate you having us on today.
As I was coming back in the studio, Fesco, yes. Ron was trying to leave the studio, and we were doing that awkward bump, like, yeah, right into each other. Ron put on a sweet. It wasn't your best, I think.
No, it wasn't that good.
You had a really good rip move. I'm like, wow, that was impressive.
You go show Frank Clark that video?
Yeah, it wasn't as good.
As Frank?
I could hear my coach.
Oh, that is so funny.
I could hear my coach at Blue Springs High School, Coach Poe. You didn't get your legs through. It was just all arms. I got to get my legs through to get skinny, and I didn't. It was just hard for me to get skinny, but I didn't get my legs through to get skinny. Yeah. So, yeah, more reps. I mean, it was all right. It was, I mean, a little bit better than Frank.
Yeah,
but it was all right.
It worked on me. It worked on me.
I'm just kidding. Like, calm down.
No, I mean, it's funny though, because I was listening to you on Wednesday, and I'm in the car and I'm laughing, and you're like in on Frank Clark, right? Like, everybody knows that the show, not a big fan of the way he's playing right now, nor should anybody be a big fan of the way he's playing.
Should anybody?
Right now. No, that's what I'm saying. No, nor should anybody be a big fan of the way he's playing right now. But so I get in the car, and sometimes when you get in the middle of a conversation, you know, you're like, oh, my God, what did I miss? Did something happen? Did something get said at the – because it was just after the press conferences, and you're going in on Frank Clark, and I'm dying laughing because everything you're saying is right, man. I mean, like, he's your guy this year, though. Like, every year you get one of those guys where you just – you're going to watch every single play. He's your guy this year, isn't he?
He's just the highest-paid player in franchise history. He is the missing piece that you moved heaven and earth to get.
Yeah.
And he's not a difference maker. He's been Alex Okafor. I mean, and so, yeah, I tell people, oh, God, why are you going to talk about Frank? You talk about Frank. He's the highest paid player in franchise history. Like, you had somebody here who, on all accounts, had a better season, any kind of voting thing, had a better season than Frank did last year, which, understandable. He's 25. He's ascending. He's more healthy than D Ford ever was.
Mm-hmm.
But you moved a first and second round pick, which are valuable. And he's doing this. And I'm just talking in my head with Frank. Like, the other day I said, man, well, you know, I said, maybe Andy needs to have a come to Jesus meeting with him. Maybe because I don't know, because they've anointed him a leader already, even though he's never been a leader on a team in his life. But they've anointed him a leader, so can't nobody say anything to him. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu, but nobody can say anything to him. So I feel like it's up to you, Andy. You brought him in. You made the call. Trust me, that wasn't Brett Veach. You made the call on paying him that type of money. Maybe you need to sit down with him and talk to him and say, is there something that we can do? Are you injured? Is there something that Spats can do to help you? Because this is 5 weeks now. This 5 weeks. As me and Carrington were up there watching the game Sunday in the press box, he's not being double-teamed on the sideline.
He's not.
Even though some people may think anywhere he walks, he's being doubled and triple-teamed. But he's not. Like, something has to change, like, because I feel like they've coddled him. Oh, he's being double-teamed. No, he needs some tough love at this point, I believe.
Yeah, and I think the whole double-team thing is, like coaches and people will say stuff to your face in press conferences because they don't think you're actually, like, watching the games and paying attention, and they can make things up and try to talk over your head a little bit. But that's not the case. I specifically watched Frank Clark a lot last week, and every chance I got, I was looking for those high socks and looking for number 55. Like, where's he at? And I'm going to see what he can do. And more often than not, he would make initial contact with an offensive lineman, and just kind of stop. Like, there was no follow-through, like, trying to get by the offensive lineman. And that was the frustrating part for me is, like, all right, you're making initial contact here, and then you're standing straight up and kind of becoming a non-factor, and there was no need to double-team Frank Clark in last week's game. So the double-team stuff is not something I'm buying with him.
I'm willing to be a little bit patient and give him this week. Deshaun Watson gets hit more than any quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
He's the only pass rusher on the team. We had this stat a couple days ago. Frank Clark has 35 career sacks. Everyone else on their defensive line has 40 now with Chris Jones out. They only have one pass rusher on the team. If you can't get pressure against the Houston Texans, what team in the NFL can you get pressure against? So I understand what Ron is saying, and I don't disagree, and I understand the frustration with what Frank Clark has done so far. If he can't get pass rush in this situation, then we really got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with Frank Clark.
And I think that's fair to have that point of view as well. I think you're saying, all right, here's an easy test for Frank Clark this week, right? What probably the easiest test he's going to have. Let's see what he can do. And they're going to need him this week because they got nobody else out there that can do it.
Which means they'll get double and triple teamed, right?
Go ahead, Kier, because this entire conversation is not the third highest paid defensive player in the game. This isn't a guy you traded a first and second round pick that now we move the bar to, all right, I'm going to give him this week against the weakest team. All right, or he's being double teamed, and look how much he's being double teamed. Or my favorite. Oh, we didn't need Frank now. I just want Frank to perform when it matters. Go to hell. Are you kidding me? You paid him all this money and trade him. He needs to make an impact every game. You don't say that about Pat? You don't say that about Mahomes? Oh, we just need him to perform when it matters. No, you don't. You need him to perform every week. Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about with Kelsey. No, hell no. You're a great player. We need you to perform. We don't want Kelsey. Oh, we'll wait for Kelsey in the AFC Championship game. To hell we will. We're paying you this money. You're thought to be – this team is supposed to work with you playing at this certain level. Well, I get what you're saying, and you are more patient than I am, Carrington. But, man, when you are paid like he is and when you are and they moved everything for him, I can't get to the point we've reached Alex Gordon territory of, boy, I hope he gets a walk today. Well, I hope he could do it against this bad team. That's where we are with Frank. Oh, hell.
Last year, I went through something very similar with Sammy Watkins, so I do understand Ron's frustration. Like, I try to talk about the important players on the team. Like, I'm not wasting my time on the show talking about Armani Watts. He doesn't factor
right,
in anything.
Exactly.
So I talk about the guys who are important. So I'm with you when it comes to Frank Clark. No, I definitely understand your frustration. This is kind of where I've been at.
Guys want to be paid the big bucks, but then they got to step up and earn that money, too.
Absolutely. This is where I've been. In the very beginning of the season, everybody said, oh, you know, we got to give this defense 6 to 8 weeks to gel. We understand it's going to take some time to implement the scheme. Man, the first time the defense sold any crack, people were ready to pounce on the defense. I'm willing to give them until the Packers game. They got two more games. That will be at their seventh game. The eighth game is against a team they could potentially play in the Super Bowl. I'm not hearing any more excuses about time and continuity and all that stuff. When they play the Packers here in a couple weeks on Sunday Night Football, it's go time for me. And that's when I'm starting to evaluate the defense differently. But I said at the very beginning of the season I would give them time and I'd be patient. So I'm still going to be patient. They got two more games of patience for me.
I can't believe he's more patient than I am on this defense because I said four games. I didn't even talk about the defense for the first 4 weeks of the season. You gave him 4 minutes. But I gave him 4 weeks.
I was the first preseason drive. So
you were done as well.
I don't give him four. My partner Vern gave him 9 weeks. I don't give him four. I totally agree with everything you're saying about the defense. All right, I think
but they've gotten worse.
I don't agree with that. I heard you say that this morning driving in. I don't think they're worse. I think, and we're going to talk about this today, I think some people have forgotten. Somehow we've gotten to week five, forgotten about that 2018 defense last year. I feel like some people need to go pop on some YouTube footage. Go see the number that Blake Bortles did in the passing game against this Chiefs defense. Go watch some of those games. That defense who gave up 30, it seemed like, routinely.
Well, they gave it up through the passing game. The passing game is
and the running game last year.
But they're getting ripped at 180
yards a game.
They couldn't
stop anything last year. I'm with Ron when it comes to the defense. I think that people – like, all I heard all summer was, we just got to get the 19th best defense in the NFL. What do you think the 19th best defense in the 2019 NFL looks like? It looks kind of like the Chiefs defense. You're going to have problems stopping people that, man, every game the Chiefs hold a team under 20 points, they should win. I don't care who they're playing. They should win that game. That I'm not saying the offense is the biggest problem on the team, but they're not. But the reason they lost their last game was not because of their defense. They lost that game because of their offense.
Carrington Harrison from The Drive, show from Show and Vern, in with us. It's the Chiefs Roundtable. CDOT had a hypothetical we're going to discuss coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.
Carrington, you posed a hypothetical yesterday on the show, but also you were going around, as you do, you go around the station and shoot videos of us giving your hypothetical answers. But you had one yesterday involving the quarterbacks and the coaches for this this matchup Sunday.
Yeah, the question was, if you were an owner of an NFL team and you could start your team with a certain quarterback-coach combination, would you rather have Andy Reid and Deshaun Watson or Bill O'Brien and Patrick Mahomes? I was curious because I think your normal inclination is to always take the quarterback, but the quarterback, you get Bill O'Brien to be his head coach. So I was curious where people landed on that. A lot of people took Reed and Watson, which that's the selection I would make.
That's the selection I would make, too. I don't like Potatoes O'Brien. I don't think he's very good, and I think he's part of the reason why Deshaun Watson hasn't been able to realize his potential. And I think for me, I'm taking Andy Reid because I've seen him do it with a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, he made Alex Smith look like, you know, the second coming. He did so much with Donovan McNabb, took Michael Vick out of prison and made him a really good quarterback. Kevin Cobb had a good year under him. So, like, Andy Reid has got that track record of taking quarterbacks and bringing the best out of them and making them fantastic football players. And I think having a great head coach like Andy Reid is a difference maker in the NFL because I think there are so many slack-jawed yokels out there coaching in this league right now. Andy Reid is such a difference maker in what he does.
Bill O'Brien is kind of like AFC Jason Garrett. Like, no one actually likes Bill O'Brien. We've had two people on from Houston this week. Both of them hate Bill O'Brien. Like, I don't know a single soul that's like, you know what? That Bill O'Brien guy's a good coach. I haven't run across that person yet.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
Is he not likable or is he not a good coach?
I think it
might be a combination of the both. Two, honestly.
From people that I've talked to, that he tries to be Belichick and he's fake and everybody kind of sees through that. Like, when you're dealing with professional athletes, they know who you are.
That's the problem with everybody from that Patriots tree. Remember, a lot of people said
they all suck.
A lot of people said that about Eric Mangini. A lot of people said that about him, too. It's weird how that works.
I stumbled down a rabbit hole the other day and I was going through Bill Belichick's coaching tree.
It's awful.
It's not arguably
the
worst.
Did you hit any branches on the way down?
It's terrible. Like, his coaching tree's terrible.
Especially if you take Saban out of it.
Even in the NFL, Saban wasn't any good. But just from an NFL standpoint, it's terrible. And then if you take Saban out of it, it's god-awful.
We were talking about this yesterday on the show. I think Pat Mahomes is clearly, especially if you put it in the young quarterbacks, is clearly the best young quarterback in football. But I think a lot of people believe there's a nice gap where there's Pat and then there's Deshaun and then maybe Carson Wentz. I think the gap is not as wide as people think it is between him and Deshaun. Mm-hmm. You said you saw what Andy did with Donovan McNabb. I think Deshaun would be Donovan on steroids if he had Andy Reid, and Donovan's a borderline Hall of Famer.
And Donovan was really good.
But I think he would be him on steroids, especially if he had the weapons he had. So it's easy to me. Now, mind you, Pat's a better overall quarterback than Deshaun. So I don't know if there'd be a drop-off in Houston. Like, Deshaun's won the division last year, was 11 wins last year. I think Pat would still have them winning and would be able to win even with Bill O'Brien
would be all right
on the team. But, I would take the combination of him because, Deshaun's got some kind of an it factor at the end of the game or something. I don't want to say Brady, but he's got something at the end of the game where you're like, I feel – like, he's going to get it done. And it's since high school and college and even now.
He's a winner.
Yeah, there's something. Like, my mom yesterday text me during the show. Mama's show. She's on Mama's show Mondays on Show.
She's a riot.
At 11. She said, man, I wonder what it would be like for Mahomes if he played with that pressure that he played with on Sunday each and every week. Because that's what Deshaun Watson plays on
each
and every week. And like, I wonder how Pat would look if he played with the pressure that Cam Irving and Mitchell Schwartz and the rest of the line gave up on Sunday, because that's what Deshaun sees weekly. Mm-hmm. 99 sacks in 27
years.
Starts.
Is incredible.
99. Man. Pat's got like 35. 99 sacks. That's the sacks, not the pressures. And the things he was able to get out of because his athleticism, it's just insane.
to go to your point, I wonder if at least our generation, Ron, was spoiled because we got to see seven Hall of Fame quarterbacks play at one time, and the quarterback was probably 11, 12 deep. Like, if we're talking about the young quarterbacks in the NFL, I made this point from the text line. The text line has strong opinions, and I would say strong like or dislike, for every quarterback that's not Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Very split on Lamar Jackson. Very split on Baker Mayfield. Very split on Carson Wentz. Very split on Jared Goff. If we're talking young quarterbacks, there's really only two that I think the consensus among NFL fans are, these guys are good, they can carry the torch for the league. You have the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, the guys that are going to be in Canton, Rodgers, Breeze, Peyton, or not Peyton, Wilson, Brady, all Wilson. Those kind of guys. And then after that, there's just such a huge gap. Then you go to Mahomes, then you go to Deshaun Watson, and then that class just hasn't really solidified. Andrew Luck was in that class.
I think Russell's in between too. He's in the middle of that group.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think once these old guys age out of the league, we'll have two great quarterbacks in this league, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
I'm not ready to shut it down on Carson Wentz.
I like Carson Wentz a lot.
I think Carson Wentz is really, 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 really talented if he stays healthy. And you know sometimes you get the injury bug
tag. Yeah.
I felt like his were kind of freakish. I think he tore his ACL on a play where most times quarterbacks don't tear their ACL diving in. And then he had the back injury last year. But I think he's the real deal too. And I heard you yesterday, man. Listen, I'm not going to say Jared Goff is as talented as all the others, but all I know is that cat keeps putting up numbers every single year.
He out-dueled Patrick Mahomes.
And he was the reason.
And that was an out-dueling.
Yes,
right there.
He was the reason that they won the game. And I you watched last week against Seattle, it wasn't his fault. He did everything he needed to do, and Todd Gurley is absolutely not the same, and he did everything they needed to do. I'm much higher on Jared Goff
now,
than other
against,
people are.
Against Tampa, he wasn't any good. Like, I thought he was pretty poor against Tampa.
Yeah, he turned the ball over.
Turns the ball over.
They throw for like
that,
500
right?
yards that day, too. Yeah,
I think what happens a lot of times is I think that first impressions matter so much,
God, yes.
And it's hard for people to move off of it.
Frank Clark.
Like, if Goff had did the exact same thing that Mahomes did, didn't play his first year, that first year that he had with Sean McVay was his first year, the perception of Goff would be so incredibly different. But he was so bad that first year with Eric Fisher, and then McVay came and he turned it around, that people just give all the credit to Sean McVay and they don't give any of it to Jared Goff.
Right.
I'm with you. The last 2 years, when they could run the football effectively, Goff was a top eight quarterback in the NFL. Now they have no semblance of a running game, and Goff is struggling.
Well, it makes a difference. I mean, people don't want to talk about how the running game is still a vital cog in this thing, and that's why I think Andy Reid on Sunday was terrible at his job, because he didn't even utilize the running game. Putting it in the hands of your quarterback that has a bum ankle against a bad offensive line with a defense that's, you know, bleeding out, you need to slow things down a little bit. You do have to have a good running game in this league.
For their team, they're constructed. Their running game generally has to be better. But it was struggling towards the end of the year in the playoffs is when Todd Gurley was really injured.
Yep.
All I know is he went into the Superdome and beat Drew Brees in the NFC Championship game and drove down at the end of the game to put him in position to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get that on Jared.
All right, before we wrap up, the confidence index is down. It's clearly been down this week. So does this have to be not just a win, but some style, some prettiness to it on Sunday, or is it okay if it's just a W?
I think Houston's a playoff team, so I don't think you're really shooting for style points against a playoff team. Just find a way to win. The Chiefs need to focus on trying to win these two games over the next 8 days, and then they get a mini bye week. That's all I'd be focused about. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you get it. You don't got to have any style points against Denver on a short week and a banged-up team. You got one playoff team, one of the five worst teams in the NFL. Find a way to take care of home field advantage. Find a way to scrape and claw. And I don't care if you got to win that game against Denver 17-14.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then you get 10, 11 days to prepare for the biggest regular season game at Arrowhead since what? The Green Bay game? Or since the New England game on Monday Night Football? Like, it's a long time since they've had a regular season game as big as what's going to be in Kansas City in a couple weeks Sunday football.
They may have to beat Denver with a left-handed pass. The odds of that happening, I don't know.
Yeah, just win. Just win. It doesn't matter.
You guys think they do win on Sunday?
I'm picking them to win.
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I think Travis Kelce could have himself a big day. Well, he needs to. He better.
Show from Show and Vern. You can catch him 10 to 2. Carrington Harrison for the drive, 2 to 6. Of course, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us from the Chiefs Roundtable this week.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yes, sir.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com?
We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.